Okay, so we are Shmuel Aleph. We're up to Perek Chaf Ches. So David has been hanging out with Achish, the king of Gaza, Pushti king, and he's been going on raids, and he's really been raiding Amalekis and other, you know, non-Jewish tribes and things. But then he would, when Achish would ask him, you know, where did you go today? What's going on? He would say, kind of vague, but the way the pasuk says it is, I was in Negev Yehuda, Negev Yerachameli, Negev Akeni, but, you know, implying that he was attacking the Israelites. And the pasuk actually, the parak, chapter 27, ends that it says that Vayamein Achish b'David lemar, that Achish really trusted David, believed in David, and he said, Havesh Yivish b'amo b'Yisrael, he has turned against his people, Israel. He will now be a slave to me forever. So he thinks that David has joined his side. Okay. Perek Chaf Ches, chapter 28. Vayihi bayamim ahem. And it was in those days. Vayikbitzu plishtim es machaneim ratzava. And the plishtim, just make sure you're in Shmuel Aleph. Yeah. And the plishtim gathered together their camps for battle, lilachim b'Yisrael, to do battle against Israel. Vayomer Achish al David. And Achish said to David, Yadoa teida, ki iti teitze b'machane. You should know, you're going to come out to war with me. Ata v'anashecha, you and your men. So, on the most simple level, he is saying, you know, you're going to come out to war with me because I see that you're on my side. You've joined forces with me. The Malbim zeroes in on the words E.T. You're going to go out with me. Kind of, you know, like they say, keep your friends closer, your enemies closer. Like, he didn't fully trust David to send him off to fight on his own. He wanted him close to him. The way he says it is, what does he mean? You'll go out with me? Meaning, you won't go out with the regular army. You'll be with me. You'll be part of the elite guard around the king. Their job is to provide protection from both enemies and from rebellions. And the Malbim says, interestingly, he said in general, I'm not sure if I fully understand this, but he says in general, the kings would choose for their closest guard, they choose foreigners. Because they were afraid that if there was a rebellion, if the people were from amongst from their people, if their guards were from their people, they would join in the rebellion. But I guess if you hire foreigners, so they have no interest in killing the king. They're not going to gain anything from it. They're just visitors, you know. They're mercenaries. But if you hire someone who's a local, he speaks the language, he understands the politics, he may have an interest in joining forces with the rebellion. So he says typically, it was typical to hire someone who was a foreigner as a mercenary, and that's why he signed David up to be his personal guard. And specifically, though, in this case, it was a little bit different than that, also because he didn't want David to be part of the regular army because he thought that David wouldn't want to fight against Israel. So even though it said in the last parak that he believed and he trusted, it seems he still had his doubts. But he trusted him enough to be a personal guard. You know, under his watch, that he trusted him. So that's what David was doing. Pasuk Beis Vayomer David El Achish, and David said to Achish, Lachain, Ata Teida Es Asher Yaseh Avdecha. So you know what your servant will do. Vayomer Achish El David, Lachain, therefore, Shomer L'Rosh Yasimcha Kalayamim, I will make you a guard for my head, a guard for me, all of the days. Again, David understood that he read into what Achish was doing, and he understood that Achish didn't want him to be fighting against the Jews. And David was quite happy for this, because he also didn't want to be in that position where, you know, his host was asking him to fight against the Jews, and he would be in that sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, he didn't want to fight against the Jews, but here Achish would be asking him. So he was quite happy for this offer to be part of the personal guard. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. So now we shift gears away from the Plishtim somewhat. Shmuel Meis, and Shmuel had died. So we already mentioned this a couple of chapters earlier, that Shmuel died, but it mentions it again. We'll see in a moment why. Vayispedu lo kol Yisrael, and all the Jews eulogized him. We're in Perek Chaf Ches, chapter 28, verse Gimel. Vayikberu barama uveiro, and he buried him in Ramah and in his city. It's a little bit of interesting. Sorry, and they bury him. Interesting language here, in Ramah and in his city. Ramah seemingly was his city. So it could either mean that it's just stressing that it was mamish in the city. In fact, the last time it mentioned that Shmuel died, it said he was buried in his house, or under his house, you know, in his property. The Radak points out that there were two different cities called Ramah. And I think Rama Satsofim, and what does he say? Rama Sayim, right? Rama. It says he was from Rama Sayim, which implies that there were two Ramas. So therefore, it was telling you that he was buried in the Rama that he was from, in his Rama. There's one other pshat that Rashi brings down. It's really based on the Targum here, that it means they eulogized him in Rama. And each man in his city. Like in every city, they were eulogizing Shmuel HaNavi. And really, that's, you know, what we do nowadays when a gadol dies. So each yeshiva or each, you know, big shul will hold a memorial for that gadol and talk about what that person represented and the lessons we learned from that person's life. So they did that for Shmuel. They eulogized him in every city. The Shaul Hesir Ha'ovos Vesayidonim Meha Aretz. And Shaul removed all of the Ovos and the Yidonim from the land. So Ov and Yidoni are two types of black magic divination. We're going to talk about Ov more. Ov, there's different, it's not so important how it was done, and different Rishonim talk about different things, but Rashi, the basic understanding is that, again, we'll see that it might involve bringing forth someone from the dead, and then Rashi talks about how the person would talk from their elbow, from their armpit, I mean. So, well, we'll get more into Ob shortly. Yidoni is some kind of special bone that you like that the sorcerer would stick in their mouth, and then it would talk or something that makes sounds. Different types of black magic divination, and it's forbidden from the Torah. And Joel had gotten rid of all the Ov and Yidoni. Okay, so these ideas will be important momentarily. Pasuk Dalad. Vayikavtu Plishtim Vayavo Vayachanu Bishunim. And the Pushtim gathered together, like we said before, they were gathering their armies, and they came and they camped in Shunem, and they're getting ready to attack the Jewish people. Vayikvot Shaul es kol Yisrael Vayachanu Bagilboa. So Shaul gathers together all of Israel, and they camped in Gilboa, seemingly nearby. Vayar Shaul es machane Plishtim, and Shaul saw the camp of Plishtim, Vayira, and he was very scared. Vayecharad libo me'od, and his heart trembled greatly. Vayishal Shaul ba'Hashem. So Shaul asked Hashem, what do I do? Plishtim are about to attack. What's my next move? V'lo'ano Hashem. And Hashem did not answer him. Gam b'chalomos. He also didn't answer him in dreams. Gam b'urim. He didn't answer with the Urim b'tumim. Gam b'nevi'im. And also not with Nevi'im. So this is where it becomes important that Shmuel was now dead. And that's why the Navi repeated that Shmuel had died. Because now Shaul doesn't have his Navi, Shmuel HaNavi, to turn to in a time of need. So he tries to ask Hashem directly, and Hashem doesn't answer. He tries for chalomos. He tries for dreams, another way of trying to get a message from Hashem, and Hashem doesn't send him that message. He tries the Urim Betumim, and Mefarshim point out that the Urim Betumim was with David. Because Evyasar HaKohen, we learned a while back, after the destruction of Nob, he was, I think, the sole survivor when Nob, the city of Kohanim, was destroyed. So Evyasar had taken the Urim Betumim with him. So the Mefarshim say it must be, you know, that Shaul sent a messenger to David to ask the Urim Betumim, and they didn't get an answer. And some Mefarshim say this was a punishment to Shaul for destroying Nob. I think that's a medrash, actually. It was a punishment for Shaul. Rashi brings it down.
Was the idea of Shaul waiting until Shaul died to get rid of the Malbos and the Dune? Was that suspected? Was he cleaning up his act because he didn't have Shaul to rely on anymore? I mean, it seemed like he...
Right.
So he used to say, yeah, that he got rid of them before.
He was going to need to rely on something more important.
Yeah. That's why there were none. He got rid of them before. That's why there were none around. He got rid of them before. That's why there were none around. He had gotten rid of them.
Right. Yeah, that's an important point. The point here is really that he had gotten rid of them before. We're going to see he's going to want to ask Balas Ov, and he's going to have to search for her because they're not around anymore. So Shaul had done this probably while Shmuel was still alive. Yeah, you're right. In the context, it could be understood otherwise. Okay, and Gamba Nevi'im, again, you may recall that when Shmuel started his career, there wasn't really much Nevuah around. If you'll remember way back to the beginning of Shmuel, of Sefer Shmuel. And after Shmuel started prophesizing, that kind of opened up the gates of prophecy. And then there were many other Nevi'im. But now that Shmuel has died again, so Nevuah has dissipated. And again, there's no Nevi'im to ask.
He had the entire school.
What? He had a school. Yeah, he had it right, exactly. It was available. It was in the air. Okay. So Shaul stuck. He doesn't have anyone to ask. So Pasuk Zayin by Yomer Shaul Avadav, and Shaul said to his servants, Bakshuli Eshes Balas Ov. Request for me a woman who practices this divination through Ov. And I'll go to her, and I'll seek from her to find out what to do. And his servant said to him, there's a Balas Ov in the city of Ein Dar. Go and speak to her. Right, so like we pointed out, like we pointed out, the reason he has to like search for her is because he had just rooted out the practicers of Ov, and now it was harder to find. But his servants knew who one practitioner of Ov. Now there is a medrash, I believe, that says that this woman was the mother of Avner. And Avner was the one who knew where he could find a practitioner of Ov. There are others who say that, or suggest that, she wasn't like they have this little storefronts, palm reader, you know, find out your future, read your tea leaves, right? She wasn't one of those. She happened to know how to do it, but she wasn't a practicer of it. Right? It's usher to practice it. There are some Mefarshim who want to say that she, in fact, there's a Gemara that says the Sanhedrin was allowed and was even encouraged to know how these different things were practiced. They couldn't practice it, but they were allowed to know. And so she could be that she knew how to do it, but not that she was she had a storefront where she, or you know, not that she was selling her abilities. But that's just a suggestion. Or it could be, definitely the pashup shot, simple reading is she was a balas of. She managed to escape the Ov police. But some of Shaul's servants had heard of her. And they sent him to, and they suggested that he go to her.
He got rid of the people, or just meant that he got rid of their accoutrements?
I'm not sure. I had assumed that he got rid of the people themselves. I believe that practicing this is a chi of Misa, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I don't know. I assume that he got rid of them completely, but yeah. What were you gonna say?
Oh, it seems he didn't really try hard.
To
recruit, he just requested quickly and then went.
You mean he didn't try so hard to ask Hashem?
Yes.
Okay, that's a good point. That brings us to our next point. So the question is: was this mutter? Was this permitted for Shaul to do? It's pretty clear in the Torah that you can't practice these things. You can't ask either. But maybe in this circumstance where Shaul had tried everything, so maybe then it's permitted. So then it's if pikuach nefesh, right? So what?
On the scale? Well, it's not just him.
Right, the scale. Okay, so good. So the Netziv, in the HaMikdavar, in Parshas Shoftim, where the Torah talks about one of the places, it's in a number of places where it talks about Ov. So he says there, basically what the Torah says there, it says, Lo yimatzei b'cha, you shouldn't have among you a bunch of different things, including Ov v'yidoni. It says, Sa'avas Hashem kol osei eile, it's a toeva, it's an abomination to Hashem, those who do this. And it says, and in fact, that's why Hashem is getting the Canaanim out of the land, because they practice these things. That's why Hashem is kicking them out. Tamim tiyayim Hashem elokecha, you should be pure and straight with Hashem. Ki agayim ha'ilu asher ata yorei shosam, because the goyim that you are inheriting the land from them, El Me'onim, El Kosmim, Yishmo, they listen to these diviners. But you, Hashem didn't give you that. Hashem gave you a different way to divine the future. Navi Mikir Bacha Me'achecha Kamoni, Yakim Lecha Hashem Elkecha. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, a Navi like me, Hashem will appoint from among you a Lav Tishma'un. You should listen to him. That's what the Pasuk says. So says the Netziv. Yesh ladas, you should know that even though a normal person on his own has to be tamim Hashem Elokecha, And he's not allowed to seek out the future. And he quotes Pasuk from this passage, Parsha, that Bilam praises the Jewish people. Kilo nachash b'Yaakov, right? The Jews don't do these divining things, says the Netziv. But still, at a time of war, where it's not clear what to do, and it's sakanas nefashos, there's lives at risk, yesh lachgar v'ladas, one should seek them out. V'zeu taimu shel shalom elech ha-tzadik. Shal was a tzadik. That's the reason why he sought out a Baal HaSov. It's mefurish, it says. Don't do that. Seek out a Navi. But he says, but you see that if there's no Navi to seek out, then what choice do you have? You have to seek out the future through these other ways. So, you have to ask, what can you do? Asks the Netziv, so why was he punished? We find, it says in Divrei Hayamim, that it calls him out for this. He says it's because he caused this. He should have asked Hashem more. He should have worked harder on requesting from Hashem. He says that even that's implied also in Divrei Hayamim there. When it calls him out for asking Baal HaSov, it says Velo darash el Hashem. He didn't seek out Hashem. But he did. So says the Netziv, you see that he, you see that he didn't ask enough. That was the problem.
But I don't really understand how what the Netziv is. Isn't it a form of Avodah Zarah? How could he do it?
I don't know. Is it? Is it Avodah Zarah?
It seems on the face of it.
It may be tapping into certain kohos of tumah. Right, but I don't know if it is actual Avodah Zarah. You're not. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so. Doesn't seem that way. Okay, but that's what the Netziv says. The Mishpatot Zav brings down an Orach Chaim that he says argues. I looked up the Orach Chaim. He doesn't seem to be arguing. He does mention Shaul in this context, but it wasn't clear to me that he was arguing. He just says that Shaul understood. Basically, he says the same thing as the Netziv, the way I understood it. So according to the Netziv, Shaul was correct for doing this.
So when these things existed, then it isn't there a concept that it came from like the Sitra Achra? It wasn't coming from Hashem.
Yeah, I mean, yes. So, that doesn't mean it's Avodah Zarah. I don't know. Yeah. So I think he brings that down also. Brings down that shach. So he brings that the shach says that he quotes from the Maharai, which is the Trumas Hadeshen, that a chole is someone who's sick is allowed to seek out Ksamim and Machshefim, but the Marshal argues, unless there's Sakanas Nefashos, but it seems that in when there's Sakanas Nefashos, then it is Mutter. And according to this, right, Shaul did not transgress anything. This gets into the big question of like some of these medicinal, you know, these Chinese medicines.
Big thing in Jewish about Reiki.
Reiki.
Yeah, Reiki is where they put the hands over the thing.
This would be Rabbi Grossman's department, you know, if he could, I'm sure he's giving a shiur on whether, you know, you're allowed to use these alternative medicines which involve Avodah Zarah of some sort. I think I've seen that.
Well, alternative medicine, you know, just using herbs.
Right, yeah, yeah, no.
They put their hands over the person.
Yeah, so according to this marshal, according to this, it sounds like it would be okay if it's sakanas nefashos, if somebody's life is in danger. I don't know, maybe that. Again, that's Avodah Zarah. This is, again, ksamim and mechashefim. It may be a different, it may depend what you're doing, what's involved.
worshiping.
Right, right. You're just tapping into their the black magic, the powers.
And as being king, does he have a little bit more leeway to do things that other people couldn't do?
I would not think so.
Other armies in there.
Right. No, again, because it's a danger, and right, because it's a grave situation, and maybe he does have a little more leeway. But otherwise, as on a personal level, I don't think he does. Okay. Pasuk Ches. Vayishape Shaul. And Shaul hid himself. Vayilbash begadim achirim. He dressed in other clothes. He dressed up as a peasant. Vayelechu ushnei anashim imolang, he and two men with him. Medrash says it was Avner and Amasa. Vayavoh el ha'isha laila, and they came to the woman at night. I'm not sure why, but the Medrash has a problem with it being night and says that it was really, Rashi quotes, it was really day, but it seemed like night to them. I'm not sure what's prompting that. It's obviously something is. Maybe the context seems like it was daytime. I'm not sure.
Consciousness of wrongdoing?
What, in the...
He had been suppressing these people.
Right.
And
so you...
So now he's going to be seen publicly?
No, I think that's what I'm saying. It makes sense that he would go at night. I'm
right,
not sure
well,
why
the
Medrash...
The
no, obviously there's something that they... that Chazal were bothered by about this. I couldn't figure out what.
That's when they did their stuff. That's a good time to do.
So then they should go at night. So again, I'm not sure...
Most people sleep.
So, right, so everything points to that. It makes sense that they would go at night. So I'm not sure why the Chazal say it was daytime. Vayomer, and he said, Kasami Nali Ba'ov. He said to her, work your charms with Ov, Vahali Li Esesher Omar Elayach, and bring up the one who I say to bring up. So using Ov, you can bring up a spirit of a dead person, and that's what he requested from her. Batomer ha'isha elav, and the woman said to him, "Hinei ata yadata es asher asa Shaul." You know, she doesn't know that he's Shaul, right? So she says, "You know what Shaul did? Asher hichnis es ha'ovos v'sayidoni min art, that he destroyed all remnants of Ovin Yidoni from the land." V'lama ata misnakesh benafshi lahamiseni. Why are you trying to put me at risk to get me killed? This is outlawed. It's and here you see, it gets you killed, right? It gets you killed. So she says, why are you putting me in this position? How could you ask me to do this? Vayishava la Shaul, and Shaul swore to her Vashem, with God's name, Lamor, saying, Chai Hashem, by the life of God, imikare la avon badavar azeh, if any sin, if any fault is occurs to you in this matter. So again, it could relate to that. He's really telling her that this is permitted in this situation. Again, he's not giving her the details, so that's what he has told her. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vatomer Ha'isha. And the woman said, Esmi Alelach. Whom should I bring up for you with my powers? Vayomer, and he said, Shaul said, Eshmuel Ha'alili. Please bring up Shmuel. I'm going to ask, you're going to bring back Shmuel, and I'm going to ask him what to do.
So are we assuming that she doesn't know at this point that it's Shaul?
She still does not know.
So then what's the fact that he's swearing?
Why does that?
Why should she believe it? There's some guy who comes in off the street.
Okay, that's a good question. So I see now Rabbeinu Yeshaya answers that question. He says he was swearing that I won't tell anyone. This is just between me and you. I won't reveal the secret. Okay. With God's name, right? It's a pretty heavy duty shvuah here. So she trusts him. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vatera ha'isha Shmuel. And the woman saw Shmuel. Vatizak b'kol gadol. And she cried out with a great voice. Vatomer, and she said, Vatomer ha'isha al-shol. And the woman said to Shol, Lamor, saying, Lama rimisani. Why have you tricked me? Ve'ata shol. And you are shol. So at this point, she somehow realizes that this was, that it was Shaul who was asking. She sees Shmuel, and somehow she realizes that it was Shaul who was asking. How is it? So the Mefarshim bring from the Medrash, they tell us three things a couple of things. First of all, we're going to see that she is able to see Shmuel, but she's not going to hear what Shmuel says. Only Shaul is going to hear what Shmuel says. So Chazal say that there's three things you should know about Ov. The one who summons the person sees him, but doesn't hear him. The one who it's being asked for hears him, but does not see him. So Shaul will not be able to, cannot see Shmuel, but he'll be able to hear him. And other people don't hear and don't see. So this is something that only happens between the two people involved. The summoner, the sorcerer or sorceress, and the one who's being asked for. The one who summons sees but does not hear. The one who is being summoned for hears but does not see. Now they also tell us, Chazal say, that typically when you summon someone for Ov, they come up from the ground or in a cloud, legs first. They come up upside down. But this time, Shmuel came up right side up.
And something seems to be missing here. He says, raise up Shmuel for me. And then next pasuk says, she saw Shmuel. It doesn't say she did anything.
Okay, I mean, it doesn't have to say every single detail.
It's like important detail that she did. It doesn't say anywhere that she actually engaged in this act.
Okay, so maybe one of our approaches will help with that question. So usually they come up feet first, but this time Shmuel came up head first, and she understood that that was because she was in the presence of the king. And this was out of Kavod Malchus. And that's how she knew that it was Shaul that was standing before her. Vayomer lo hamelech. And the king said to her, Al tiri kima ra'is. He said, don't be scared. What have you seen? Vatomer ra'isha al Shaul. And the woman said to Shaul, Elokim ra'isi or Olim Mingaretz, or Elohim Ra'isi Olim Mingaretz. I've seen Elohim, judges, godly figures, something serious I've seen coming out from the ground. What does that refer to? So Rashi, based on the Gemara, says that she was saying, I saw two angels. I saw Shmuel, and with Shmuel was Moshe Rabbeinu. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu there? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says that Shmuel brought Moshe along with him. Why? He said he was afraid that he was being brought to judgment. He felt himself being dragged back to somewhere. His soul was being taken somewhere. So he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you gotta come along with me, kumba adai, because there's nothing in the Torah that I didn't fulfill, and you'll be able to vouch for me. That's the Medrash. The Mitzvah David brings down, it just means Adam Gadol. She says, I saw a great person. And she's referring to Shmuel. And there's another pshat which we'll get into soon. Okay. Vayomer la, and he said to her, Ma taro. He said, what did she look like? Vatomer, and she said, Ish zaking ole. An old man came up who ote me'il, and he was wearing a me'il, which was some kind of coat, but that was a shirt, a tunic. And that was Shmuel's traditional garb. Vayeda shol ki Shmuel hu, and Shaul knew that it was Shmuel. Vayikod apayim arza, and he bowed twice to the ground. Vayishtachu, and he prostrated himself. And now Shmuel is going to start talking. And he's basically going to say, we're not going to read all the psukim now, he's going to say that this is the end for you, Shaul. The Plishtim are going to win the battle, and you, tomorrow, you and your sons are going to be killed. So, okay. So what's going on here? What's the story with this Ov? How does it work? Does it work? The way that many Mefarshim ask the question is, does a like non-Jewish sorceress really have the ability to bring back Shmuel? And it seems, you know, Shmuel really... Okay, you're sorry, Jewish sorceress. You're right. Does the power of Ov, does that magic really have the ability to bring back Shmuel Hanavi for real? Like, you know, it seems he's really going to foretell the future. And this seems to really be Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel says, you know, in the next pasuk, you know, why did you bring me back? And they have a whole conversation. How does this work? So there's a number of different, very, very interesting approaches here. First that we'll mention is that of one of the late Gaonim, Rav Shmuel bar Chafni. It's brought down in Otzer HaGaonim. So this is actually something that Rabbi Grossman likes to quote. I've heard him quote it a few times. And he actually quotes it in the context of Parshas Balak. Because there's different understandings of Bilam's abilities. And Ibn Ezra actually understands that Bilam had no special abilities. He was just a very smart con man. And he knew, you know, he knew how to see the way that the tides were flowing and basically was able to trick people into thinking that he was a prophet and that he could predict the future and things like that. So Rav Shmuel bar Chafni has a similar idea here. He says, that this woman did not bring back Shmuel. No, nothing, not at all. She tricked Shaul. The whole thing was a farce. There's no such thing as Ov, and again, this is a major debate between the very rationalist Rishonim and the more traditional. So the rationalists, like the Rambam, and many of the Gaonim hold that all of these things that are mentioned in the Torah don't practice all these kinds of divination. They're all fake. None of them actually work. There's no koach to them. There's no power to them. They're different types of divination, and they're all false. Others, well, no. There's such a thing as koach hatumah. There's impure forces out there that someone can tap into. And they're real. Shmuel bar Chafni takes the position that you can't really practice Ov. It's a fake thing. She was a charlatan. She was a faker. So he says he has to deal. He says she was tricking him the whole time. So in order to say this, you have to deal with some questions. He says first of all, it says that Shaul knew that it was Shmuel, right? We just read that pasuk, and Shaul knew that it was Shmuel. What does that mean? According to him, it wasn't Shmuel; it was a fake. So he says, "Okay, that's not such a hard question. It means he knew in his mind, but he was wrong. But he based on what she told him, he knew. He thought that it was Shmuel, but it wasn't really Shmuel. he really believed it. That's the point. Now." If you read on the next psukim, there's a whole conversation. Vayomer Shmuel Shaul, and Shmuel said to Shaul, and Shaul says back. So if this is all fake, then how could they have a conversation? So he says, not a problem. It doesn't mean that Shmuel was actually talking. It means that she was relaying what Shmuel was saying, right? And Shmuel said to Shaul, she was telling Shaul this. She was saying, oh, Shmuel says this. Oh, what do you say back? It could be. It could be that she was using... I think that's a different approach. There are Rishonim, I think, who takes like that kind of approach that, like, you know, someone hitting the ground or something, you know, type of thing.
But then wouldn't she have fed him more things that he would have wanted to hear?
So, it's a good question. We'll get to that in a moment, okay? We'll get to that shortly, about what she actually says. But the way that Shmuel Bar Chofni says is that she was just relaying it, and it just says that he said it. Now, others had a problem with this. They said, if you say that, then every time in the Torah it says, and he said, so you could start playing games and say, oh, he didn't really say, someone else said it, right? That this opens up a whole can of worms to say that, even though it says that Shmuel said, but you can learn... It wasn't really Shmuel who said it. It was someone else who said that Shmuel said.
This is a witch. She's identified as a witch.
Right. Okay, so good. So that's basically what he answers. He says that...
He seems to be saying that witches have no power.
No, understood.
The power of ventriloquism. The power to fool.
He says... How does he say it? Right, he says it a little bit differently. He says, you're not going to apply this to every situation. Here, it doesn't make any sense that Shmuel is talking. Shmuel's dead. How could Shmuel be talking? So, here, you'll say, it makes sense to say that it wasn't really Shmuel talking because he's dead. But anywhere where it's actually possible for the person to be talking, then we'll assume that that's the person who's talking. But here, it's impossible. So, of course, he's not talking. So that's why here, we'll say that she was the one who's talking. That's what he says.
Is that Gemara there?
He's not really dead.
What?
You could just as easy just say he's not really dead. He was really there talking.
Yeah, but it says twice in the Navi that he was dead.
What about the Gemara there, where the people went in the guy was in the cemetery and he heard them,
Yeah.
So okay. He said that didn't happen either?
I don't know. I don't know how he deals with those kinds of Gemaras.
He famously said that the Rambam was,
But the Rambam's not alone in this. This is the a common many Gaonim have this approach also.
So when was this written?
Shmuel Bar Chofni?
Yeah,
he predates Rashi and the Rambam. And I think he's a late ninth, 10th century or so or something like that. We'll see other Gaonim are gonna align themselves with him in general. They have a slightly different approach here, but in so far as saying that she was a faker, they agree with that.
Saying he's a faker or that it couldn't have happened?
So, no, they're saying that she was faking it. They're saying that the story is that she was faking it. She was saying that she saw Shmuel and she heard him say this and she told that to Shaul. So the last question, though, is... That she seems to predict the future, right? Shmuel's gonna tell Shaul, tomorrow you're gonna die, the Plishtim are gonna win, and that's what comes to be. So it seems that she was the real deal, right?
No, she doesn't really say that she saw Shmuel. She saw somebody.
No, but if everything... But we didn't read the psukim yet, but Shmuel's going to say, tomorrow you're going to die, and the Plishtim are going to win, and all of that is going to come true. So if it's really her who's talking, then it seems that she does have the power to divine the future. No, but I'm talking about later in the chapter, right?
And then you have this question, why, if she was just faking, why would she give him bad news? He's not going to want to pay her.
So I'll tell you why. So because she got it right. Because the way he says it is, she looked at the time, she looked at what was going on, and she saw the Plishtim on the doorstep. And this is what she does. She tells you what she thinks is going to happen. She predicts based on the odds, she weighs what's going on, And she got lucky. She predicted the future. She got it right. But it was luck. So it was all lucky. That's what Shmuel Bar Chochmi learns. Now other Gaonim learn very similar but different. They say she was a faker. Ov is not, there's no power to Ov. You can't actually bring back the dead. But Hashem intervened, and Hashem made Shmuel come back right at that moment. And she was as shocked to see Shmuel as anyone else. And that's why when Shmuel appears, Vayizok, she cries out. She's shocked. What's going on here? Because she's been faking it her whole life, right? And all of a sudden, Hashem actually makes someone appear, and this time it was Shmuel. So out of shock, she screamed out, "Who is this?" And according to that, really, all of this did happen. Shmuel had a conversation with Shaul, and really did predict the future. And she was as shocked as anyone. But really, Ov has no koach, has no power. That's the second approach. The last approach I'll mention is the Radvaz. The Radvaz learns he's taking a bit of that approach, but a different approach. He learns, no, certainly he's a Kabbalist. Certainly Ov has power. It taps into koach hatuma. That's why it comes from the armpit. The armpit is a place of tumah, right? I guess because there's sweat there. Right? It's a generally dirty place, right? It's a place of tumah, and absolutely there's such thing as Ov. He says also the idea that they come up upside down is also part of it. That it's a tumah, it's a tumah type of practice. That's one thing he says. Then he says, another thing you have to know is that the body and the limbs of a Navi or a Tzaddik, they're a kisei, they're a throne for the Kedusha Aliona, that even after death the body is holy and it has great Kedusha and kochos of tuma are disgusting to the body. But within the first year, because we're still within the first year of Shmuel's death, the neshama will sometimes come back to visit the body. It goes back and forth during the first year, right? If that relates, I think, to the first, we say Kaddish for 1 year. There's still the neshama hasn't like gone all the way to its final place. It's still floating around a bit. So he says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that she is going to summon kochos of tuma into Shmuel's body, so he says, he told the neshama, okay, now's the time, go back into the body now. Now's a good time to go back into the body, and not through the power of Balas Ov, Chassid Shalom. He says it was the mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said better to bother the neshama and send it back now, rather than have kochos of tuma enter this holy body. And that, says the Radvaz, is what she means when she says, Elohim ro'isi olam in ha'aretz, in Pasuk Yigimel. There we mentioned that the Gemara talks about that means she saw two, she saw Moshe and Shmuel coming, and a simple understanding is that she saw a great person. He says it means she saw like this godliness in the neshama. She said, this isn't the typical Ov that I usually summon. This is something else. This is the neshama has returned to the body. She realized it wasn't like the other times. Also, because it came up head first, like we mentioned, that chazal, And that's why Shaul, in the next pasuk, which we didn't read, but in the next pasuk, Shaul turns to Shmuel. Sorry, Shmuel says to Shaul, beginning of pasuk Tezvav, and he says, "Lama hir gaztani lahalos osi? Why have you like shaking me up to bring me back?" She's telling this to Shaul. He's telling this to Shaul, not to her, right? Because she didn't bring him. It was Shaul who brought him, if anything, because Hashem sent the actual neshama in Not because, but she didn't summon him. And he says, and that's what's going on here. The neshama of Shmuel had returned temporarily. It can only happen within the first 12 months, he says, while the neshama is still in that limbo state, that back and forth state. And that's what was going on here. It wasn't really Ov that had summoned Shmuel back in the end. It was really like Hashem decided right now, because she was trying to summon Kochus of Tumah into Shmuel's body, so instead she'll send, Hashem said, I'll send the actual neshama back for a time in order to impart the message that Shaul needs at this time. Okay. We will hold there.